Hi, my name is Krishan Ukol, and I welcome you to the third episode of Math and Money. Market Indexes 101. Now, listen to the title again if you want to, and think about the first thing that comes to your mind. To me, a market is a place of exchange between a willing buyer and seller acting in their own interest. An efficient market, one where the exchange happens at a price that reflects all information about the value of the subject matter of exchange. Now, what's an index? The simplest meaning of an index would be a representative measure ostensibly originating from indicate. In the current sense, an index would be a representative number indicating the value of a group of numbers relative to its chosen base, which are often market prices of the stocks which constitute the very index. Are they equally weighted, you may ask? Is the index a simple average of the prices of the stocks, or are they given a weightage? If yes, what's the rationale behind the weightage? Well, let's find out. For the exhibit, you will have to visit the website www.mathandmoney.finance.blog, and I will explain it through this podcast. Now, Exhibit A. For our understanding, we've chosen five imaginary securities and prices on the day of the inception of such index. A simple change occurred on day two, although highly unlikely in the real market due to the presence of circuit breakers, but sufficient to give us a conceptual understanding. What are circuit breakers? For now, think of them as quantitative boundaries that the stock price can't cross on any given trading day, applicable in both the directions. Now, what's the change from both these tables in Exhibit A? Let's break it down. As you can observe, the total price of all five securities on day one, which is 75, increases to 150 on day two, therefore a 100% increase in price. Similarly, even the prices of each of the securities has increased by 100%. Pretty intuitive. What's most important is the value of an index, in this case, set at 10 on day 1. It's set at 10 on day 1, and this number is known as the base number, and this could be absolutely anything, and there is no rationale for its selection. As mentioned earlier, it's merely representative. The divisor, although, is the only number that links the base number to the index. As illustrated, the value of the divisor most often remains the same, except to adjust for corporate and other actions such as stock splits, etc., which aren't relevant in our illustration vis-a-vis the Exhibit A. The divisor at inception is arrived at by dividing the total, which is the aggregate price, by the base number. In this case, it is B8 by B10, sell B8 by sell B10. Finally, you may notice as the price of the individual stocks increased on day 2, so did the aggregate price, but the weightage, which is column G, remains the same, because the change in price was constant at 100% across all stocks. Where this brings us is to an index value of 20 on day 2, which as earlier illustrated would be the aggregate price in F8 divided by the constant divisor in F11, 150 by 7.5, which brings us to the value of 20. Now, this is what a price-weighted index looks like, where the weightage of individual stocks on the index is determined by its price. Fairly similarly, the stock market indexes are usually market capitalization, short for capitalization would be cap. So stock market indexes are usually market cap weighted, and most often they are free float market cap weighted. Simply put, the market cap of a stock is the current market price per share into the total number of outstanding shares in the market. Outstanding shares are those currently held by such company shareholders. They're outstanding because the company still owes that per share amount to each of its shareholders. Free float market cap, on the other hand, are those shares that are readily available for the public to invest in. These exclude all those shares that are held by the company's promoters, if any held by the government as a promoter, held through the FDI route, and by companies in the same group. Because as you would realize, these aren't shares that are readily available for the public to invest in. Free float market cap often excludes those shares that inherently possess some element of control in the company, either on the operating policies of the company or the board of directors of the company, if I have to be very specific of the meaning of control in this context. The outstanding shares are then multiplied by their free float factor. The free float factor is the amount of outstanding shares available for the public to invest in, divided by the amount of total outstanding shares of the company. When we multiply it with the free float factor, we arrive at the free float market cap that would be reflected in the index. Let's now look at Exhibit B. Contrary to Exhibit A, Exhibit B uses the free float market cap, FFMC in short, of the constituent securities, that are the securities which make up the index, instead of their per share market price. The FFMC, again, is the resultant product of the per share market price, the number of into the number of shares outstanding, into its respective free float factor. Now, into here denotes multiplied by, which determines now the per share market price, the number of shares outstanding, and its respective free float factor determine the individual weightage of a constituent security in an index. Again, since the change in prices and the number of shares outstanding are constant across all constituents, weights remain the same, and the revised index value of 2000 reflects that very change in price, which is 100% from 1000 to 2000 amongst the two tables in Exhibit B, with the constant divisor being the only link to the base number as illustrated even in Exhibit A. Now I get the concept is clear. Now this S&P BSE Sensex, often referred to as Sensex in common parlance, is based on this methodology where the level of the index at any point of time reflects the free float market cap of 30 component, which are the constituent stocks, relative to a base period, 1978 to 79 in this case, with a base value of 100. Now you know exactly what it means when the Sensex moves up or down by any number of points. The real market scenario would differ in terms of differing outstanding shares per company, differing degrees of price changes of such stocks. What we really mean here is that, as illustrated in Exhibit A and B, every company will have different number of shares outstanding, as in contrast to similar ones as illustrated. Their number of shares can be multiplied by their free float factor to arrive at the free float market cap, but they don't necessarily have to be multiplied with the same number of shares. Although the number of shares that exist will depend on the number of shares that were offered in their initial public offering, and if any in the further public offering of the company. Now, although fundamentally the aforementioned structure is how free float market cap weighted indexes are constructed and maintained. To understand any index, the knowledge of its weighting method, quantitative details of constituents therein, and base value should suffice. On the Bombay Stock Exchange website, the illustrative alphabetical matrix of all 30 constituent securities in the index are dynamically displayed, providing a bird's eye view of all constituents in the Sensex. Now consider the following. Question 1. Have you ever thought why the Sensex often depicts the mood of the market? Question 2. Why is it the most sought after measure of the overall performance of the market, similar to Nifty 50 on the National Stock Exchange? Question 3. Why is it said to be a recognized gauge of market sentiment? Well, one of the biggest reasons is the diversity of the sectors represented by the companies in the index, and the criteria for selecting stocks that form part of the Sensex, illustrated below, which are also to be referred to on the website. Now this brings us to our final question. Who and what determines which stock forms part of the Sensex? Broadly, the following quantitative criteria determines constitution of a stock in the Sensex. Among other things, the security should find itself in the top 100 companies listed on the exchange, which is the Bombay Stock Exchange, as per total market cap. It should have a listing history of at least 1 year on the BSE, which is the Bombay Stock Exchange again, and it shall be traded on each trading day for the last 1 year. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. The quantitative requisites are further enlisted unequivocally on the BSE website. We do need to keep in mind that any security included in the index is not immediately removed upon being unable to satisfy one or more quantitative or qualitative criteria. At least a six-week period is provided as a buffer for any announced reconstitution, which is a change in the constituent securities of the index, for it to be implemented. I do hope that questions like what does X market index really mean will never bother you again. In fact, you're one of those who can now answer it best.